because he is so not any level of ADD at all. That's why I actually call him TMO. I don't know if you've ever noticed that on my Twitter. I call him TMO, which stands for the mundane one, which is a nickname that he actually gave himself. It's kind of funny. He gave himself that nickname one time because he said, you know, I'm the only one mundane one in this house. And I said, you say that like it's a bad thing.
My name is Jenny Friedman. I'm an ADHD coach and the host of the show. Yeah, we need a lot more people talking about ADHD because it's invisible. If you had a pair of glasses that can make you see the invisible, what would ADHD look like? You're wondering right now where your glasses are? You're probably in the right place. This show has a mission: demystify and destigmatize ADHD once and for all. This stuff isn't rocket science, people. Be sure and check out ADD Crusher videos and tools. They are alternative ADHD solutions recommended by ADHD coaches all over the world, including myself. They help you escape the overwhelm and live to your potential. Get Alan's free book, 5 Things You're Doing Every Day That Make Your ADHD Worse, and use coupon code CANADHD15 to save 15% off any purchase at ADDCrusher.com. So, hello, Rill. I'm so glad to have you on the line with me today.
Hi, I'm glad to be here.
We've been communicating via Facebook. I've been asking you to join me on a podcast, but all of a sudden I had this, like, I woke up in the morning the other day and went, you know, super ADD mom, hello, Mother's Day, because Mother's Day, yeah, Mother's Day always creeps up on me since my mother passed away. And even though I have kids of my own, I don't think of it until like the week off. So I'm so glad.
Oh, I hear you. I'm glad you did too, because I'm trying to think ahead this year, because every year, usually the kids try and do something for me in the morning and it takes them like, well, because they have ADD as well. So it takes them like forever to try and put together a breakfast for me. But every Mother's Day for the last 3 or 4 Mother's Days, I've been listening to them in the kitchen and like going, there's no clean spoons. We need a plate. We need a cup. There's no cup. Where's mom's favorite cup? And everything is dirty. So, and that's my fault. So I like sabotage my own Mother's Day because the kids don't have a clean kitchen to make breakfast for me in. So I'm my goal this week is to make sure that they have a clean kitchen on Sunday for me so that I can get my cold scrambled eggs and my lukewarm tea with my handmade mother's cards before we go out for the day without them spending all the extra time because of me. So
right.
Yeah, that's why my tagline on my webpage and on my Twitter is that sometimes I'm super and sometimes the ADD is. So
yeah.
When I wake up in the day, I never know who's going to actually, you know, be on top of that at the end of the day. Usually it's the ADD, but I do strive to be more super than my ADD most of the time.
Yeah, it's just so cute when they try and they create these little mushy mess. You know, like, oh, here, mom. It's like, thanks.
Yeah, I know. I think, and it's funny, my husband and I were talking about it the other night, and I mentioned to him one of the foods that I got from them when my son was 3. He's 10 now. And he didn't remember it happening. So I guess it's just, you know, it's a mom thing or whatever. I guess if it happened to him on Father's Day, he'd remember it. But because it wasn't memorable for him, he doesn't remember. But my son made me a bologna sandwich when he was 3. And I make our bread with a bread machine. So they had to cut the bread themselves, and the bread pieces were so thick. And he's 3 years old, right? So his sister's in the kitchen with him helping him make the bologna sandwich, and he cuts the bologna as well because I didn't buy it sliced. I bought like a big hunk of bologna that week or whatever. And he cuts this big, huge, thick slab of bologna and he puts mustard on it, but he sat it on the coffee table or wherever he was making it. I think it was the coffee table at the time. And he was making grape juice at the same time. So he spilt grape juice crystal all over the bologna and all over the sandwich. And he was so proud, and he brought it into me, and it was probably like 4 inches thick of a sandwich with mustard dripping out the sides and grape juice crystals through the whole thing. And I ate it because I didn't want to hurt his feelings, because he was so proud at 3 years old to make me a sandwich.
Oh, so my God.
I ate it. So I think that's one of the Mother's Days that will be the most memorable for me that I'll probably never forget.
That's the perfect story. That's
cute. And that's exactly what it is, you know, they're so proud, and they come to you with like this big, you know, their eyeballs are just popping out of their face, and the smile is from ear to ear, and they're like, look, Mom, look what I made you.
Oh, I love that. You know, yeah. And it's so cute. They make these things, they make it either at school or at home, and it is the best gift in the world. And then there's like a little part of me, a couple years ago, I don't know if I lost it or if I'm just getting cold in my older age, but I said for Mother's Day, I want everyone to leave me alone. I want to be alone.
I hear you. No, I know. You know what? You're not alone in that. I know so many moms, even that I talk to online, but even my personal friends who are just like, why does Mother's Day, why do we feel obligated that we have to spend time on Mother's Day? But on Father's Day, we like let the fathers like have time by themselves. And
you're right.
So yeah, no, it's absolutely true that I don't think that makes you a cold mom at all. No.
Oh,
I mean, we spend 24/7 being on call all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And then a day that is supposed to be dedicated to a mom, it's like we're suddenly double obligated to spend time and to be available and to make sure that everybody else is happy on Mother's Day.
It's like a cold prank.
we need like two Mom's Days. We need like two Mother's Days, like the first and the second Sunday in May. So the first one is the obligation parent, you know, be the good mom and eat the bologna sandwich with the grape crystals on it and go out for dinner or do whatever it is that they want to do and rejoice over, you know, being a mom and spending time. And then the next Sunday we get to do like whatever we want to do, where they all just leave and go away, or we get to leave and go away for the day with no questions asked.
I think we
deserve two mom days.
I agree. You know, I never did put together that double standard, and you are right.
Yeah.
How did they get away with that?
I don't know. That's
because
pretty smart of them.
I was feeling guilty, you know? I was feeling bad that what I wanted for Mother's Day was to be for them to go away.
Like, but what would you do if they went away? Because you know what? I know what I would do when I go away, because Mother's Day guilt. Because I would end up cleaning the house.
Oh.
If everybody left me home alone, I would end up probably cleaning the house while on Mother's Day while everybody else is gone. Because usually on Mother's Day, I end up feeling, and I think a lot of ADD women who are moms feel this way. And I don't know if moms who don't have ADD feel this way, but I know I do. I get a lot of guilt around Mother's Day of that I'm not good enough, that I make so many mistakes on a weekly basis that, you know, like I feel uncomfortable being celebrated as a mom because, you know, I'm not as good as this mom or that mom, or because, you know, I burn dinner all the time, or because nobody can ever find any clean socks.
Oh, wow. I never really thought about that.
Right. So that's what I'm asking. So as a non-ADD person, you don't have that kind of Mother's Day guilt? Because almost every single ADD mom that I talk to has Mother's Day guilt.
That is something I did not know. Because I wouldn't,
there you go.
Yeah, I would not have put that together without someone telling me. Because in my mind, the ADD mom is like the fun one.
Well, we can be fun, but we're fun because we don't look at anything that's not right in front of our face at that any given moment. So, you know, we're the moms that are, you know, scrambling to wash the soccer outfit 20 minutes before it's supposed to be on the field on your child because we forgot to do it the night before. And we're the moms who, like, you know, we're scrambling to put together a meal because we didn't use a grocery list. And when we went to buy groceries, we didn't buy a key ingredient. And now we're trying to make up some weird concoction that we're going to call spaghetti, and it's not really. So
right.
I think when I was younger, because I'm 40 now, I'm allowed to say that, right?
No, yeah, you're a baby mom. That's great.
I was diagnosed at 30 with ADD. So up until probably maybe 4 or 5 years ago, I would, and look, I just forgot what I was going to say. Because I have ADD.
Yeah.
Up until about 5 years ago, what was I going to say? What was I talking about?
Well, you were talking about being the mom, and I was saying the fun one, and you were like, yeah, maybe we're fun, but we're also making me...
Oh, yeah, the guilt. Mistakes. Well, that's what it is, the guilt. I was so hard on myself. That's what I was going to say. I was so... Up until about 5 years ago, I was really, really hard on myself, and I had a really hard time forgiving myself for all of the mistakes as an ADD mom that I make all the time. Because, I mean, they're daily. Sometimes they're multiple times a day. So,
right.
And I think for ADD women, especially ADD women who are moms, we have a lot of, it's like a cyclical thing. It's like, I call it ADD grief, because we're constantly going through a cycle of grieving for ourselves, because we get mad at it. We make the mistake. We get mad at ourselves. We are upset because we disappointed somebody that we love and we don't want to disappoint them. And then they're angry at us. And then we feel really bad about ourselves. And it kind of just goes around in a circle with every single little thing that you make a mistake with. And so you're constantly going through this like grieving period, and then you pick yourself back up again. And then you have this like, okay, I'm going to do better this time. And then you fail again. And then you have that grief over and over and over again. And it can be really difficult to like, to look at the things that you do as a mom that are good, that you are actually good at, which like you mentioned, like, you know, being the fun mom and stuff like that. And that ability to get down on the floor and play with the kids when they're little. And in a way, because you're free-spirited, you have like this childlike nature to yourself, so you get along with kids really well, and so you have all of that fun. But then when it comes time to be the mom and you make those big mom mistakes because you have ADD and your kids are like relying on you for things, it just gets hard. And I think a lot of ADD moms have a lot of guilt on a regular basis, but it all kind of like piles up on that like Mother's Day week. I know a lot of ADD moms who like wish that Mother's Day didn't even exist.
Mm-hmm. Mm. You know, I'm thinking about the question that you've said, you know, with, you didn't know if all moms felt that way. And I'm thinking about, in my own experience, I have been a young mom when I was 26. And I've been an older mom with my son. I had him when I was 39. And so I think also a lot of it comes with, I'm a more confident mom the second time around.
Oh yeah. As you do it, and you know, my daughter's 14 and my son is 10. So, you know, when they're littler, I think it gets automatic when you're a mom of young children and you're younger, because typically we usually tend to be like for the first kid, at least. So are you saying that you have that kind of like mom guilt and kind of...
Yeah. Oh, I thought I did nothing right. I was convinced I was the worst mother, because I would never do anything the normal way, because I was always working and running around like a chicken with my head cut off.
Yeah.
Because I was really a slave to the work. Like, I think I know this sounds wrong to say I put my job above my daughter. I didn't emotionally put my job above my daughter, but time-wise, I spent more time at my job than I did, you know...
Right. And sometimes that's not a choice. Sometimes you have to, because otherwise you don't have a job and then you can't feed your kids.
Oh, yeah. I would have lost my job. It was in retail.
Exactly.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I remember specifically, I think I took her to daycare. I think she must have been 3. And it was cold. It was winter. And she's got chapped lips. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm such a bad mom. Like I'm taking my kid into the nursery and she's got chapped lips and I have nothing but lipstick. So I put lipstick on her.
That's cute.
Like pink lips. Now I look like the psycho, you know, I'm wearing heels because I'm about to go to work and a mini skirt. It was Ally McBeal days back then. And I look like that, and putting lipstick on my kid, I knew that I looked psychotic, and all the other mothers, you know, are like in their coffee in one hand and yoga pants and, you know,
Yeah.
And they wouldn't dare put lipstick on their kid. Look at this woman. What's wrong? It was so, it's haunts me to this day about, because there was so much more going on. And, but just that was a bad time for me in my life. My mother.
Yeah. I know a lot of ADD moms are think like that, and all the time, not just when they have young kids or when they're overworked or whatever. And I mean, there are a lot of ADD moms out there who are struggling to do both, to work and to, yes, you know, be the one at home.
Well, you know, I have a friend who's, she has ADHD. She lives down the street from me. She has ADHD. She works so many hours. She's doing a phenomenal job of being, of course, this is my opinion, but like I see her being really fun, really super achiever kind of person, because she can do the five or six things at once. When I first met her and she was like making dinner and she's talking to me and she's giving her son a toy and she's running over here and she's doing all these things. And this is before I knew about ADHD. And mm-hmm. I'm sitting there very judgmentally thinking mm-hmm. to myself, oh, brother, she's one of those overachievers. She's, oh, boy, here we go. I'm going to be looking lazy and lethargic next to this one.
I am, but I bet you that her internal dialogue is not that at all.
No.
You don't see the mistakes that she makes on a daily basis.
Yes, no, now we're very close. And I actually did, when I was in school, did practice coaching with her. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, you're right. Her internal dialogue is quite not at all what I was thinking. And it's funny that, it's not funny at all, but like, you know, you're worried about being judged. And the real thing to worry about is how we judge ourselves.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's one of the blessings that I have with being where I am, too, is that I'm surrounded in a community by like all older retired people. So I don't have any other moms close by to like really seriously compare myself to, which is a good thing. I don't have to keep up with any neighbors. And the one neighbor that I do have that is a mom of three kids, and our sons are like best friends of the same age and stuff. She's just like I am. So, I mean, she's creative and I wouldn't be surprised if she has ADD, but she has never been diagnosed, but she thinks possibly. But we get along well because, you know, neither of us have any expectations when we see each other's kitchen or whatever of what it should look like, or are worried about, you know, how messy it is or, you know, right, whatever. So I don't have that like comparison for, you know, I don't go to, and my kids are homeschooled too. So I don't go to, you know, school every morning with the kids and see all the other moms who are like, you know, got all the makeup on and their hair all done and everything. And, you know, I'm lucky if I can comb my hair like, you know, twice a week. I just throw it in ponytail and then I'm like, oh yeah, I didn't brush my hair today.
Oh yeah. If you saw me right now, you'd be laughing because I have that. That's my look. I have it up in a ponytail.
Yeah, no, I just got out of bed and I just ran my fingers through my hair and I just stuck my elastic in my hair and put a sweater on. And
we, you know, moms have so much to do. I mean, you homeschool too.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're amazing. You're like a rock star in my opinion. So,
well, you know, thank you. I'm so uncomfortable when people say that because I'm not a rock star. First of all, my husband is at home all the time as well because he has a physical disability. So we live low income on his disability pension. But so my husband is home with me all day. So I have someone, even if he can't do any of the physical things around the house that need to be done, I still have the ability to, like, you know, he keeps the kids occupied. So he does a lot of the homeschooling with the kids too. He kind of does all the science-y and the mathy stuff and stuff that I'm not good at. And I do like the music and the creative stuff and the, you know, whatever it comes along. So we kind of have a really, we don't really have a, you know, strict sit down classroom type style of homeschooling. So we're pretty fly by the seat of your pants kind of thing. We take an opportunity to learn in whatever situation is going on at the time. So like yesterday, the kids, we discovered a chipmunk in the backyard and it apparently has dug a hole in the grass and it's living somewhere down in those little holes. So this week we're studying about chipmunks and their habitats and stuff like that. So
oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's fun. And I love it. I mean, I'm learning so much more than I ever learned in school, ever at all. But, but I'm not all that super rock star-ish, no. I'm at home all day because I wouldn't be able to. I know for me that I can't handle having an outside job and being a mom. Because I just can't do it. Everything just falls down around me. So I think one of the problems that we have as moms in general, but definitely ADD moms have, which I think is one of the things that I've learned to do over the last 3 or 4 years in order to lessen the amount that ADD is more super than I am, is kind of along the lines of the Peter Principle. Do you know what the Peter Principle is?
No, the Peter, P-E-T-E-R?
Yeah, if you Google it later, you can look it up and see. But basically, the idea of the Peter Principle is that people rise in business and are promoted to the level with which then they are incapable of fulfilling. So people are basically promoted up to the next position, not based on whether or not they can actually manage that next position they're being promoted into, but looking at their performance from the position that they had prior. And right. So people will continue to be promoted and promoted and promoted until they get to a level of promotion where they no longer are able to actually fulfill the job role.
Interesting. So if someone becomes a CEO, because that's the next step, but they can't do that.
Yeah. Well, usually I mean, in the business world, I don't know if someone, I think if you get to, yeah. So if someone is given the CEO of a company and within a year they're fired, basically they couldn't handle the job.
Right.
That would be the Peter Principle. But in lower management, it's like if someone is sitting in a lower management position in a company and they're not getting promoted anymore, it usually means that it's because they can't even fulfill that job, unless they're in a good company and they understand the Peter Principle and they don't promote the people up into the next position with which they can't perform.
Right.
I think one of the things with like ADD moms and the Peter Principle kind of idea is that I myself, and I think a lot of other moms too, basically we move ourselves up into a position to the point of where we can't function. So we're struggling to work at work and we're being late every morning and our kids are late for school every morning because we're trying to get everybody out of the door in the morning on time. And it's like we feel like absolute complete failures because no matter what we do, we're dropping a ball somewhere and everything is just chaotic and crazy and hectic.
Right.
And for me, where I rose to my Peter Principle was having two kids and a physically disabled husband who, you know, needs me to help him quite a bit. And I'm doing all of the housework. So I do all of the dishes. I do all the cooking and I do all the laundry and I do all the yard work and I do like pretty much everything. And I realized, whoa, I can't handle all of this. I certainly can't handle all of this while I have a job outside of the house. So we had to look at, okay, can we manage to live on what his pension is? And we live very, very, very low income, but we do it because I can't handle the stress of working outside of the house and then coming home and being a mom and a wife and doing everything at home too. I just can't. I tried it for a little while and I ended up with, massive depression and, inability to do anything. So
right. We
decided that I couldn't work outside the home. But I mean, other ways that moms and the Peter Principle kind of go in that is like, are you doing too much? Especially for ADD moms. It's like we try to compare ourselves to the other carpooling moms that we see bringing their kids to school and they look all so perfect and put together and we're going like, oh, look at me. I'm in my dirty shirt that I like just grabbed off the back of the chair this morning and threw on so that I could make breakfast and then I was late so I didn't get a chance to change that and I haven't combed my hair today and we're constantly like that internal dialogue of just comparing to other people makes it difficult, which is, what you said, and that's true. But the other part of that too is that I think as ADD moms, we need to look at what we're doing and what our responsibilities are and figure out whether or not we actually can manage that. And if we cut out this or we cut out that, would it take some of the pressure off? And so therefore would some of the chaos go away? And that is one of the largest reasons why I homeschool, because one, I'm not a morning person. And two, I know that if I had to get up in the morning and try and get two kids who both are special needs my daughter has high anxiety, and she's high functioning autistic and severe ADHD. And my son has auditory processing, so he has a hearing issue, and he's dyslexic, and he has sensory processing. So he acts a lot like ADD hyper, but he doesn't have ADD. He's got all of the other comorbidities that usually come along with them.
Right. I saw that on your website.
Can you imagine? Yeah. Can you imagine me getting up with ADD in the morning, not being a morning person, and trying to get two special need kids out of the school, out of the house in the morning on time to catch a bus to go to town for school? I would be driving them to town to go to school every morning because there would be no way. My son has crumply sock issues and he can't tie his own shoelaces. And my daughter has issues with like changing gears and, you know, moving on to the next step and things like that. And literally it takes us like 2.5-3 hours if we're going anywhere to prepare to actually get out the door on time. And it's a, you know, it's a big woo, we actually made it out the door on time kind of thing when we actually do it. So I knew that with their special issues that they have and their idiosyncrasies and with my own ADHD, I would never be able to get the kids out the door on time. So we chose to homeschool because it allowed me to have something that I wouldn't fail at. So I set myself up for success. So that's what I'm like, I've been trying to implement that more in the last year and a half or so. My husband loves gardening, but he can't manage to do all of the gardening himself. So he gets all of this big idea. Let's have this great, big, huge garden with all of these vegetables. And our garden is like, I can't even explain to you how huge it is. But it's huge. And we do square foot gardening. So we have these 4x4 foot squares of vegetables that we grow with paths in the middle of all of these 4x4 foot squares. And we have like 12 of them. And every year I fail. He plants the seeds. I help him out with the seeds. We get them in the garden. We spend all of this energy and time and, you know, money on the seeds and seedlings and things like that and get them all in the garden. And then by August, the lettuce has gone to bolt and the tomatoes are falling over because they're falling off the vine because they're so heavy and I haven't picked them. And the weeds are growing up all around the garden and it looks disastrous. And chipmunks and the rabbits are eating more of the food out of the garden than we're actually getting ourselves. And I just realized, I'm like, every year I hate gardening because I fail at it constantly. So I've said to my husband, this year, I will help you with the garden, but I'm not doing that big a garden. So if you want to take it from 12 down to 8 squares, I could do 8 squares maybe and see if we can get this going better. And, you know, like I'm going to need management from you because I don't remember to go out and weed the garden unless you tell me to. And so you're going to have to be, you know, you're going to have to be the supervisor and say, okay, you know, you need to go to weed the garden for an hour right now or whatever. And you'll go do this and go do that. Because if it's not in front of my face, I don't remember to do it.
Right.
And so I'm trying to like take out that failure point in gardening for myself in order to like set myself up for success, because otherwise I just feel miserable all the time because I've let him down and we, you know, we're wasting money and the garden isn't, you know, being productive for us. And I think that's one of the things as moms in general, but also definitely for ADD moms that we need to like look at seriously is setting ourselves up for success. So if that means you don't sign your kids up for, you know, 2 extracurricular activities because you can't manage 2 extracurricular activities per kid and you've got 2 kids and you're running off 4 nights of the week and then you're not managing that well, then you're not a bad mom for cutting back and, you know, only having to get yourself out the door after school or after work. Two days after school in the week rather than 4. Or saying no to when the PTA asks you to do something for a fundraiser. You know, I'm sorry. Like, we have to learn how to say no. No, I'm sorry, I can't do that. Or I have other commitments. Even to be honest and say, I'm sorry, I have ADHD. I can't do that. You can't rely on me to do that because I will falter and I will fail and then I will disappoint you. And it's okay to admit that. But it took me a long time to get to that point.
You know, I think also, and I don't know, it just seems like potentially one of the things when people, one, you want to please people, so you take on things. And also because sometimes they're fun and interesting, like, ooh, that sounds like fun. Ooh, I'll be at the dance and I'll dress up in this costume and I'll do that. And it sounds like fun. Not thinking of the consequences of it are like, oh my God, then well, no one will ever get to bed till 11 o'clock at night, you know, for that month. Or whatever. I like how you said, take out the failure point
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's something new for me. I mean, like, that's only like a revelation and something new that I've realized in the last year and a half, which I'm trying to do. So last year, my failure point with the garden was that I accepted too many outside commitments in the community. Working with the art community, I volunteered and I was on a committee for a photo show. And that took up more time than, first of all, it took up more time than I was told it was going to take up. But then also my creative side of me was like, well, that's not how you should do that. You should do this. I can handle that. I'll do this. And so then I found myself doing way more than I had anticipated I was going to do. So it became a failure point again for me for getting things done at the house and the garden and things like that. So this year, like I set it out from the beginning and I said, I am not dealing with or worrying about anything outside the confines of the fence perimeter that goes around my property. So I said no to any outside volunteer requests and things like that. And I left the committee and I haven't taken on any, like, you know, other volunteer positions or sign the kids up for anything or anything like that, because I told everybody this year we're concentrating on this. Because if you could see where I'm sitting right now, I'm actually out in the workshop. I'm not in the house because my husband is sleeping and our room is downstairs and I didn't want to wake him up by talking on the phone. And so I came outside and then the neighbor's dog was barking his head off. And so I went, okay, I guess I need to go into the workshop. So I am sitting right now in the workshop surrounded by my massive failure for the last 5 years. because anything that I needed to handle later or deal with later, I just sent the kids out, go put that in the workshop. Go put that in the workshop. Go put that. So I am surrounded by like everybody's worst vision of like a, you know, a cluttered garage, basically.
I saw you on Twitter. I was like, oh, she's got like a secret creative like talent here. You do photographing paintings?
Yes, I do. Yeah,
Is it picture photography or is it called, what's it called?
It's called paintography. Basically, I go out and I take photos, I take pictures of things that I like, and then I digitally paint them in like a painting program.
Oh, wow. That's cool. So is that what's part of what's in this workshop, is that kind of stuff?
Kind of, yeah. This workshop is huge. And that was one of the goals when we moved in here. We've been here for 6 years now when we bought this house. It's a huge, huge workshop. And the previous owners were antique dealers. So I'm sitting in the back area where he would have like done all the stripping of the paint off the old antique furniture and would have like repaired things. So I'm sitting in that area, and the room that I'm in right now is like full of all the gardening equipment and all of the, you know, the boating and the life jackets and the fishing lines and the tennis rackets and hockey gear, and there's a bird cage in here. But in the other room, that would have been their showroom, we kind of have it partitioned off in certain ways. So there's like a kid area that has like, you know, a video game and a TV and a futon. And then I have all of my sewing equipment in another area because I have an embroidery sewing machine and all of the material that I collect from people, and like, you know, 3 garbage bags of old jeans because I have intentions on making a quilt out of old jeans and, you know, like all of that stuff. And then then there's like an old stove and there's an old dishwasher and there's an old dryer and an old washing machine out there. And just like, it's just a compilation of everything that needs to be managed and handled. And we aren't using any of this area for any of the things we wanted to use it for, because we've got meandering paths through all of this crap right now.
Right.
So that's why I've said, okay, this is a point of failure for me. Obviously, I'm never getting to any of this stuff and it needs to be handled and done. So this is the year of the declutter and the getting all of this stuff, you know, organized. I'm sure if I took like 2 days and I piled everything from floor to ceiling, and my husband calls it the ADD organization because you don't ever actually pile things on top of each other. You just kind of like, oh, here's the spot on the floor. And so you just sit it on there. And so everything is kind of like waist high through the entire area in the space. But it's like, there's like a little meandering path from door to door through it all, because you just kind of like let everything take up all of the space. And so there's no room to do anything in here. So all of his tools are in here. So he's like, he sends me out for a tool and it takes me like 45 minutes to find it.
Also, laying it out like that allows you to see everything.
Right. Well, that's why I understand that that's why I do it, because when my husband says to me, where is something, I can see in my brain, I know it's there somewhere because I remember seeing it beside that life jacket and that couch, or I remember seeing it near that box. When I moved that box for that other thing, I remember seeing that. And so I use like visual cues in my memory to like find things and stuff. And if I can't find the visual cue that I have, because I know it's near that, then I can't find it. And so his idea of like piling everything up and putting it all in the corner, I'm like, you can't do that, because then I wouldn't be able to see everything. I won't know where it is. And I hate when he moves my stuff on my table or my desk. Like, you know, I know that that piece of paper that I want, that I wrote on Tuesday, is like, if it's Friday, it's like, it's under like at least three different things, because that many days has gone by. So if he grabs it all and piles it up and puts it all in a stack, then I'm looking for forever for it and I can't find it.
Yeah, I have that with my husband. At my desk is like whoosh, covered up by papers. But like you said, I know that if I'm trying to recall a certain thing, I'm like, I know I wrote it on the top hand corner and it must be within the first layer or two, because it was just the other day. And then he'll come and make one stack and I'm like, now I don't know where anything is.
Yeah. That's what it's like for me too, which I'm trying to get better at, because he is so not any level of ADD at all. That's why I actually call him TMO. I don't know if you've ever noticed that on my Twitter. I call him TMO, which stands for the mundane one, which is a nickname that he actually gave himself. It's kind of funny. He gave himself that nickname one time because he said, you know, I'm the only one mundane one in this house. And I said, you say that like it's a bad thing.
Well, the word mundane itself is horrible.
He thinks it's funny that I now call him the mundane one.
Because it is
true.
Funny.
I mean, he's the one. I mean, he's our anchor. He's the one that anchors us in our schedule and in the things that we need to do. And if it wasn't for him, I mean, I don't even know where I would be. I'm probably in a nut house somewhere, because he's not good at calendars, but I've gotten good at calendars. So I keep track of everything that needs to be on the calendar. But he's the one that says, okay, we need to have a family meeting. We need to discuss what we're doing for the next 4 days, or we need to do this, or this is, you know, we're going to go and plan and do this. And sometimes I get really aggravated with him, and I joke with him and say, you know, like, I swear you need like, you know, you need a blueprint for like, you know, how you're going to like walk from the house to the car and go shopping. And you need like, you know, a 27 point itinerary in order for us to go grocery shopping. It's like, let's just get in the car and go. But he's like, no, we need to do this. And we need to do this. And we need to do this first. So he's kind of like that anchor and that like, you know, structure that I need.
Right.
And sometimes I love the structure and other times I get frustrated with the structure, but we kind of sort of balance well. So I never, ever filed anything in my life until my husband, but he keeps everything. And that's one of the things where we like bounce off of each other in a bad way, because before I met him, I was a very minimalist person. I could move everything that I had in my apartment in like 20 minutes. I could put it all in boxes, take all the pictures off the walls and move everything to a new apartment. And by the time I went to bed the next night, if I was moving to a new apartment, everything would be in its place. The curtains were hung, the pictures were on the wall, and I had everything where it needed to be, because I only had what I needed, not a bunch of stuff. But my husband is a keeper, which is a nice way to say pack rat.
See, now I'm a pack rat. My husband's the minimalist. So imagine that. Imagine the structured sort of OCD kind of guy who's also a minimalist.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we should switch husbands for a week and see how it goes.
Maybe for Mother's Day.
Yeah.
Switch husbands.
Isn't there a TV show like that where you swap spouses or something, or you swap moms or whatever it's called? Yeah, you can come and live my chaos for a week and I'll go and... that would be so funny.
You might be happy, but not when you got back, because imagine your husband times two. See, I would save everything. He'd save everything.
Oh yeah, you guys would be floating in boxes here. He still had boxes for all of the Nintendo 64 video games that we had. Oh. Like, he still has them. And I've only just convinced him this year that we need to start getting rid of stuff. And he's starting to agree. And so as soon as he agrees, I get rid of it right away. Because I don't want it to be sitting around in a box or a bag. Because he's already made the decision for him to change his mind.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Well, and so just to get back on track, talking about Mother's Day.
I know.
I knew we would have fun when we talked. So...
Absolutely.
What do you think is the most important thing that a mom should like really take away from our conversation today? They're not in it alone. Well, how about that? They're not in it alone.
They're definitely not alone. Not at all. And I wouldn't want anybody who knows me through social media who's listening to this to think that, you know, like that I've got it all together, because I don't offer advice. Like when I give advice and like if I put a quote on Facebook or something like that, I'm not giving that out because I'm like, you know, I've got it all sorted out and I know everything that's going on. I do that as a reminder for myself. And if it works for other people, that's great. So I'm there in it with everybody. And you are not alone as a mom who is like, you know, trying to keep it all together. And I would hope that, especially on Mother's Day week, that given that it's an ADD podcast, that if, you know, if they're an ADD mom, to like give themselves a break, just, you know, to let go of some of that guilt, to find a way to strive for success and not set themselves up for failure all the time, so that they feel a little bit better about themselves. Because, you know, we're pretty awesome as moms. I mean, we make kids from scratch.
We do
and we're pretty amazing, because you know they're not dead yet, right? I mean, so we're doing something right.
I know.
And if you're having a bad day, like, and this is one of the things that I learned early on after I discovered my ADD, is that it is absolutely okay if you are having a bad day and you're not doing anything right. It's okay to feed your kids cereal for supper. It's okay to make a sandwich and a can of condensed soup with water in it. You don't have to be making, you know, a big meal or, you know, and if it's such a bad day that you didn't even get out of your pajamas, that's okay. Just go back to bed and start again tomorrow.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
And I have a lot of those days. And I admit them. My Twitter is like my truth Twitter, you know, like I'm real there. I say when I'm having a bad day, I say when I'm cranky and I'm grouchy and, you know, and I share when I have a success and when, you know, when I burn the grilled cheese sandwich for the fifth time in a row making lunch that day because I wasn't paying attention. Or I remember one day I was watching Grey's Anatomy. I started catching up on Grey's Anatomy. I didn't start it from the beginning. And I literally burned 5 grilled cheese sandwiches trying to make my husband lunch. 1 grilled cheese sandwich for lunch because I was watching Grey's Anatomy on my phone while I was making lunch.
Oh, no.
Talk about setting yourself up for failure. So I realized I cannot watch Netflix on my phone while I'm cooking, but I can watch Netflix on my phone while I'm doing the dishes because it actually keeps me there to do the dishes. So, you know, it's okay to make mistakes and you're human and to not be, you know, don't be a perfectionist and stop comparing yourself to other moms because, you know, there's a quote, and I don't know who says it. It's like, especially about social media, is like, don't compare people's highlight reels to your, and I don't remember how it goes, but basically, you know, especially on social media, most people don't talk about the crappy day they had. They talk about all their, oh, look, I'm going on vacation and look at the fabulous thing that I did today and look at this wonderful thing.
Yeah.
And nobody ever says, you know, like, oh, I made a mistake and I missed a meeting and I burnt dinner and my husband's mad at me. And, you know, my kids have been late for school 3 days this week and nobody has any clean socks. Like nobody ever posts that as Facebook post or as a Twitter kind of thing. So,
right.
You know, don't be looking at other people on social media as, you know, anything to strive to be exactly like. Be the best mom you can be to your standard and to the level that you need to be to keep the people in the four walls of your home happy. And don't worry about what the neighbor kid thinks or what the neighbor mother down the road thinks who looks like she's like, you know, Martha Stewart with pearls on. I seriously can't stand those mothers. I hate them because I am so not one of them. I do not compare myself to anybody like that anymore at all. And I used to all the time, you know, like, and I would get mad at the kids because they would run through the house and they would like, you know, everything. I just cleaned this room. What are you doing? And it's like, now I don't care. It's like, okay, fine. So there's dirty feet prints on the floor after I just mopped it. And, you know, I don't care. So I'll just clean it again tomorrow, or I'll wait till it dries and sweep it into the corner or whatever, because it's no fun to grow up and be yelled at constantly for, you know, making a mess or whatever. So
I just get
down in the dirt and make the mess too with them. So, you know, and I say to my kids, you know, you don't have a perfect mom. I'm not perfect. I messed up again. Yeah. Your socks aren't clean. And my kids are really good at going with the flow, you know, like, so it's just, you just have to find where your level of success is and what works for everybody in your home to make you happy. And I'm trying to do that. And I'm doing that to a specific certain level. So maybe after this year I can say, you know, I'm a little bit better at it because I'm, you know, concentrating on just taking care of the things here and focusing on us and not on worrying about what other people think of us.
You know, I know on your website, you're giving away when people sign up.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? 4 steps.
Oh, the four free tools.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was thinking maybe you could give us a little, like, tell us one of them.
One of them. Oh, I can't pick one. Well, let me just go over the four of them really quickly.
you're like, I'll tell you all four. That's a spoiler alert.
Okay, well, you know what? Yeah. Okay, so everybody go to www.superaddmom.com and sign up for the 4 free tools that I use to get my ADD kids to do their chores. I'll tell you the first one, and then they'll have to go and get the other
three.
There
you go.
So the first one is, if your kids are doing what you ask them to do, but they're complaining about doing it, let them complain. Because as long as they're doing it, it doesn't matter if they're complaining. Because eventually they'll stop complaining. The complaining is a kind of getting through that, like, you know, transition period of like, you know, oh, I have to do this. I mean, we do it internally ourselves sometimes. Like, oh, I have to do laundry. You know, you're kicking your feet up and you're kicking the socks across the room to get them in a pile in the white. And you're thinking, I hate this. This is taking too much time. And I don't want to do this. And that's like your inner child kind of like going, I hate housework and I don't want to do this. So if you ask your kid to, like, you know, pick up their coat at the door, because when they walked in from school or whatever, they've dropped their backpack and everything just boom, on the floor right there. And if they're complaining about it, but they're actually doing it, just let them complain while they do it, because at least they're doing it. Learn to shut off your ears and it becomes less stressful.
Yeah, that's a really good observation too, because now I'm thinking about that. I do that to my son a lot. I'm stifling him.
Yeah.
When I'm like,
I realized that I was doing that with my kids too. And when I stopped doing that with them, when I realized that if I just don't say anything, if they're doing it anyway and they're complaining, or if you're telling them to not do something and they're like, they're complaining about the fact that they don't want to do it, but, you know, they're doing it anyway, then I've learned to just shut off my ears to the complaining and not in a condescending way, but when they're doing it, to not complain to them about the fact that they're complaining, just go, thank you for doing what I asked you to do. And that's all. And that's all I say.
That takes a lot of stress off me.
And it's quickly over. Yeah, it does. It takes a lot of stress off you immediately because you're not paying attention to the complaining part. So it lowers your stress in that way. And you're paying attention more to the positive of the fact that they're doing what you told them to do rather than the negative of the fact that they're complaining about it.
Beauty.
Yeah.
I'm going to practice it today.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me know in a week how it works.
Okay, because when my son gets home, that's exactly what always happens. And I can tell you, I do. I get all worked up.
Yeah, and you're thinking to yourself, why does he never do what I ask him to do? Well, he is doing what you asked him to do. He's just complaining about it while he does it.
Yeah, I get mad that he's complaining. Why? Yeah. Let him be mad. Who cares?
Yeah. Because there's a lot of things you do in your day that you don't want to do, but you're doing it anyway. And your internal dialogue is going, oh, I'd so much rather be watching television, or I'd so much rather be like scrolling Tumblr or scrolling Twitter than to be sitting here doing this paperwork or filing my taxes or whatever. And you're thinking that in your head. You're just not grumbling about it out loud. So kids don't have that internal dialogue yet. They just let it out. So I learned to not pay attention to it. I don't even hear it anymore. Yeah. And my husband still hears it, which is funny. So I'm still trying to get my husband on board on that because he still hears the grumbling. And I just keep saying to him, don't listen to it. They're doing what you ask them to do. They're just complaining a little. Just let it go. It works. Yeah. And then there's the other three that are there too.
Okay. Cool. Urge everyone to go and check it out, because I think obviously from this conversation, we can all tell that, you know, a lot, we can learn a lot from you. And I really hope you have a good Mother's Day. I hope whatever you want to have happen happens. Thank you so much for joining me today. We'll have to do it again.
Absolutely, for sure. And we'll talk about my adding routine program next time.
Okay. All right. You got a deal.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And you have a good Mother's Day too.
Thank you. Talk to you later.
All right. Cool. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Since binocular vision dysfunction may affect up to 50% of people diagnosed with ADHD, reading and other learning problems, it is critical to test for vertical heterophoria, a condition caused by eye misalignment. The body corrects the condition by overusing and severely straining the eye muscles, causing symptoms such as headaches, blurry vision, difficulty with reading, learning, and concentrating, and even anxiety in large spaces like malls. Visit mvcofny.com, where you can fill out the easy-to-complete questionnaire. The Neurovisual Center will call you with the results of this free screening and let you know if they might be able to help. Call 516-224-4888 or go to www.mvcofny.com. This message brought to you by the Neurovisual Center of New York.
That's it for the show, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. And whether you have ADHD yourself, or live with or love someone who does, or both, remember, we're all in this together, and everybody benefits when we begin to see through the other's eyes.